Is the Word of God actually the inerrant Word of the Almighty Creator? Are all of His precepts and commandments true and righteous altogether? Is Jesus Christ His only begotten Son, and is His name the only name under heaven by which men can be saved? Welcome to God Said, Man Said, feature 801, that will once again certify yes, yes, and yes. Every Thursday Eve, God willing, these features grow by one. Today is the day of salvation. Have you been born again? Born a literal second time, this time of the Spirit of God? Will today be the day you make your peace with God? Will today be your day to participate in the greatest mystery and the greatest miracle known to man? It can be. You can do it now. Click on the Further with Jesus for childlike instructions and immediate entry into the kingdom of God. Now for today's subject. God said, Genesis 7, 1 and 2, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female." God said, Genesis 8, verse 20, "And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar." God said, Genesis chapter 1, 1 through 5, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day." God said, Genesis chapter 5, verse 3, "And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth." Man said, "I have more pressing things with which to concern myself than the God of the Bible. When I'm in trouble, man and his wisdom will be my salvation." Now the record. The age of the earth and its universe is surely known, even down to the year, day of the week, and even the time of the day. For example, Genesis tells us the evening and the morning were the first day. God's days begin in the evening. Work began in the evening in the darkness. God's creation process began the first day of the week, which would be Sunday evening, with the evening preceding the day. Evening and the morning were the first day. Genesis 2, 1 through 3, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." This weekly cycle is foundational to life even in our biological clocks. From Genesis we understand that the creation process began on Sunday evening with the evening preceding the morning. Many chronological markers are laid out in the scriptures that are used to date the earth. The genealogical record is pivotal. Genesis chapter 5, verse 3, "And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth." From the birth of Adam on the sixth day to the birth of his son Seth was 130 years. Tracking the genealogical dates between father and son, we discover that 1,656 years transpired from the day Adam opened his eyes until Noah's flood. Moving forward from Noah, tracking genealogical spans to the years of the kings and other chronological markers, you can date the age of the earth, its universe, and all mankind. Anglican Archbishop James Usher, famous for dating the earth in the scholarly tome he wrote in the 1600s known as the Annals of the World, used all of the methods noted and more. In Appendix B of the Annals of the World, revised and updated by Larry and Miriam Pierce, you'll find the following. In preparing this work, Usher first made the assumption that the Bible was the only reliable source document of chronological information for the time periods covered in the Bible. In fact, before the Persian Empire, Very little is known about Greek, Roman, and Egyptian history or the history of other nations. Much rests on speculation and myths. Dates in secular history became more certain with the founding of the Media-Persian Empire. For events before this time, Usher relied solely on the data from the Bible to erect his historical framework. He chose the death of Nebuchadnezzar as a reliable date to anchor all the earlier biblical dates to. Hence, working backward from that date, he ended up with his date of creation of October 23, 4004 B.C., end of quote. The date of October 23, 4000 B.C. is according to the Julian calendar. According to the Gregorian calendar, still used today, and according to Usher, the beginning of time is Sunday, September 21, 2004 B.C. Now add the years since our Lord Jesus Christ, and you have an earth just over 6,000 years of age. Scientific and academic research continually, and mostly unwittingly, confirmed the Bible's young earth. Several of academia's latest discoveries recently published on God Said, Man Said follow to set the tone of this feature before presenting the new information that will once again shout, yes. Settle it in your heart. The earth is just over 6,000 years old. Nearly 100 features on God Said, Man Said certify it. Paleontology, archaeology, ancient history, societal records, genealogical records, geology, molecular biology, and more all say yes. I need the Word of God to be true. My life, even eternal life, depends on it. From the God Said, Man Said feature, Satan's champions have gone to the dogs. The headline in the June 15, 2013 issue of Science News reads, Europeans are one big family, and the subhead reads, DNA finds common ancestry about 30 generations back. A few paragraphs follow. Virtually every person living in Europe today shares a common set of ancestors that lived about 1,000 years ago. Peter Ralph and Graham Koop of the University of California, Davis report May 7 in PLOS Biology. What's really surprising is just how closely related Europeans and likely all people in the world are, Koop says. In the past, mathematical analysis have concluded that everyone on the globe shares not a single ancestor but a complete set of ancestors who lived about 3,000 years ago, end of quote. Remember, eight people descended from the Ark just over 4,300 years ago, and they are the beginning of today's global population. Discover Magazine, in their July-August 2013 issue under the heading Evolution in Overdrive, published the following excerpt. Joshua Key of the University of Washington recently explored the average age of our species gene variants, finding that most are very young. About three-quarters of single nucleotide variants, a mutation that substitutes just one nucleotide, an A, C, T, or G, in the long string of DNA, occurred within the past 5,000 years. Surprising considering that our species may be 2,000 years old, end of quote. No matter where they search, they always end up here. Consider this excerpt from the July 13, 2013 issue of Science News under the heading of Extinct Wolf May Have Begat Dogs. Researchers have long assumed that dogs branched off from a still-living wolf species. Geneticists have combed the world, looking for wolf populations that most closely resemble dogs genetically and concluded that dogs originated in the Middle East or Southeast Asia, end of quote. As you should suspect, the dog population today came from one male and one female on Noah's Ark, which landed on the mountains of Ararat, which are located in Turkey, a Eurasian country that bridges southeastern Europe and southwestern Asia. End of quote. God Said, Man Said, language in 6,000 years. In the September 2012 issue of Acts and Facts, science writer Brian Thomas wrote concerning the age of man and the earth under the title, A Recent Explosion of Human Diversity. Several paragraphs follow. Everyone should know that the cosmos was created. It also stands to reason that those who listen to Moses and the prophets, as Jesus said, should be able to see more specific evidence of biblical creation, including scientific discoveries. One such evidence is human genetic diversity, which leaves evolutionary history in a quagmire while confirming a straightforward interpretation of the book of Genesis. The research team investigated the amount of diversity among today's human genes and how long it took to reach the current amount of diversity. They concluded that human genes diversified recently. The authors wrote, "The maximum likelihood time for accelerated growth was 5,115 years ago. This is a tiny fraction, 0.2% of the 2.4 million years of humanity that evolutionists suppose. The explosion of human genetic diversity has occurred in parallel with and because of human population growth. With each new person comes another opportunity for DNA differences to arise, either by design genetic shuffling processes or mutations," end of quote. The headline in the December 29, 2012 issue of Science News reads, "Human Diversity's Recent Explosion." The subhead reads, "Most genetic variation came about in the last 5,000 years," end of quote. The more science looks into the invisible, the more the facts shout yes to God's holy Bible. Keep in mind that God is invisible, and He created all out of that which is invisible. Now consider this headline from the May 2013 issue of Acts and Facts, "Is Mankind Getting Dumber?" Several paragraphs written by science writer Brian Thomas follow. Do today's children have lower IQs than yesterday's? Yes, according to measurements of intellectual and emotional strength gathered from different countries and contexts. The results show the same basic decline and resist the notion that public or other forms of education are to blame. Could the cause instead lie within? Stanford University professor Gerald Crabtree thinks so. He published a pair of essays in the journal Trends in Genetics, citing new discoveries that show why the human intellect is surprisingly fragile. This biblical creation-friendly notion didn't sit well with the authors of a rebuttal paper who countered that the human intellect is robust. What lies at the heart of this disagreement? Bad science or bad assumptions? Crabtree identified two fundamental processes as the main culprits. First, human intelligence uses neurons, and these cells can only function properly if their genes stay in top shape. Second, these genes are susceptible to degradation. This loss of organization occurs continually as mutations slowly, irreversibly garble genes, and the resulting errors pile up and are not corrected. Each new generation accrues about 60 mutations, new mutations, to the gene-coding DNA regions of the human genome. Crabtree applied this rate to calculate that every 20 to 50 generations, we should sustain a mutation in one copy of one of our many ID genes. As a result, in the past 3,000 years, the N, approximately 120 generations, each of us should have accumulated, at the very least, 2.5 to 6 mutations in ID genes. Accordingly, the human intellect perhaps reached a peak 2,000 to 6,000 years ago. When scientists typically evaluate human genetic history, they incorporate hypothetical deep time scales taken from evolutionary paleontology to calibrate their models of DNA change over time. In other words, they assume millions of years and literally build deep time into their models. In contrast, these new studies use demographic models of human populations over known historical time and geographical space. The resulting data showed a very recent, massive burst of human genetic diversification, mostly associated with genetic entropy. One author writes, "The maximum likelihood time for accelerated growth was 5,115 years ago. This places the beginning of the period of genetic decline close to the Genesis flood, when the Earth began its repopulation through Noah's family and humans rapidly diversified." Amazingly, This recent explosion of human genome variation, mostly associated with genetic entropy, also fits the same pattern of human life expectancy rapidly declining after the flood, as recorded in the Bible. One more key piece of genetic data demonstrating a recent creation comes from ICR scientist Dr. Nathaniel Jensen, who examined the mutation rates of DNA in the cell's mitochondria. The mitochondria is a small organella that resides outside the cell's nucleus. Mitochondria contains its own DNA molecule separate from a creature's main genome. Mitochondrial DNA is typically inherited from the creature's mother, and its mutation rates can accurately be measured to produce a molecular genetic clock. By comparing rates and a very few different animals, Dr. Jensen demonstrated that a creation of not more than 10,000 years ago is confirmed by these genetic clocks. The results of these genetic studies fit perfectly with the predictions of a young Earth creation time frame, but make no sense when millions of years are added to the mix. The clock simply cannot have been ticking that long. The headline of the article published by NIH.gov and recently brought to the attention of God Said, Man Said by a servant of the Lord reads, Life Expectancy of the Human Race. Most of the feature follows. Today we know the average person, if unimpacted by serious physical trauma and or diseases, will live for about 90 years. The cause of death for such a person is usually listed as old age. In biological terms, such a death is the result of the gradual loss of genetic information, DNA, over time. Once the loss and corruption of a person's DNA reaches a critical mass, the person dies. Scientists are now asking a more strategic question. What is the life expectancy of the human race, given the negative cumulative impact of mutations, replication errors? This is a reasonable question, because mutations, replication errors, are accumulating in the human population as a whole and are then being passed from one generation to the next. How many generations of humans can be produced before the collective human genome wears out? To answer this vital strategic question, a team of geneticists has compared DNA sequences in succeeding generations of Icelanders. These geneticists found that children in Iceland have an average of 63.2 mutation replication errors that are de novo. De novo means neither possessed nor transmitted by the biological parents. Mutation expert Alexei Kondrashev reviewed the Icelandic study and agreed with the findings of the authors. He also suggests that the accumulation of mutation replication errors in the human population is causing an increase in genetic disorders, such as color blindness, schizophrenia, and autism. Kondrashev writes, plainly, human DNA sequence quality is relentlessly worsening. Based on the Icelandic study, if we assume the first generation of humanity had no or zero errors in their DNA, then on average, the members of the second generation would have about 60 mutations replication errors in their DNA. And members of the 200th generation, about 4,000 years later, would have an average of 12,000 mutation replication errors in their DNA. Members of the human race now average about 18,000 mutations replication errors in their DNA. It is estimated that when members of the human race reach an average of 21,000 mutation replication errors in their DNA, the human race will be at critical mass and will no longer be able to procreate, reproduce at survival levels and will quickly go extinct, end of quote. Harmful mutations and replication errors are occurring at a rate of 3,000 per 1,000 years. When the number reaches 21,000, which the writer calls critical mass, life as we know it is over. Stem to stern, mankind will have existed for just 7,000 years. If so many evangelical Christians are reading the scriptures correctly, the return of Jesus Christ in the clouds to receive his church unto himself is very close, and shortly after follows the battle of Armageddon. After Armageddon, Jesus Christ sets up his thousand-year reign upon the earth. 6,000 plus 1,000 equals 7,000. Is science once again knocking at the door? End of quotes. When science looks without the presuppositions of evolutionary theory, uniformitarianism, and time and chance, they consistently find God and his young earth. No scientific discovery has ever controverted one principle of God's word, not one. Try as the skeptics may, failure should be their only expectation. The headline on sciencenews.org reads, "Well-traveled, gene split arose early in domesticated goats." An excerpt follows. Present-day domestic goats may look humble, but they harbor more genetic diversity than any other livestock species. In fact, analysis of goats' mitochondrial DNA have shown that these animals evolved through five distinct maternal lines that spread from the Near East and Central Asia across Europe. The headline at searchforthetruth.net reads, "Goat/sheep, match biblical record." The following paragraphs are from that feature. Tracing the DNA lineage of all humans back to an original source has revealed that all humans originally came from a single woman and a single man. This is no surprise to Christians who were told this thousands of years ago in the first chapters of the Bible. It has just taken modern science 6,000 years to catch up with what God told us in the Bible. But we have also traced the lineage of other creatures. For instance, DNA testing has now revealed that all living goats are descended from five original female goats, and all living sheep are descended from three or four original females. But why multiple original pairs and not from one original goat or sheep pair? Once again, the Bible has the answer. Noah was told to take seven pairs of each type of clean animal on board the ark in order to have animals for sacrifice after the flood receded. These animals may also have been needed to provide food and clothing as the earth was repopulated with plants and animals. Thus, in the case of sheep and goats, we would not expect all modern breeds to be traced back to only one pair, but something less than seven pairs. Apparently, Noah sacrificed, or ate, two pairs of goats and two or three pairs of sheep. All the sheep and goats in the world today descended from the remaining animals. The test results exactly match what would be expected if the Bible and the worldwide flood were to be understood as literal historical reality. The Bible is the only truly accurate source of truth for such ancient historical knowledge. End of quotes. When real science looks, they find God's word is true and righteous altogether. This is the solid rock that never fails. This is the place to build a life that will last forever. God said, Genesis 7, 1 and 2, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female." God said, Genesis 8, verse 20, "And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar." God said, Genesis 1, 1 through 5, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day." God said, Genesis 5, verse 3, "And Adam lived an 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. Man said, I have more pressing things with which to concern myself than the God of the Bible. When I'm in trouble, man and his wisdom will be my salvation." Now you have the record.